This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Picture this, you know, it is the mid-year mark. You were sitting in a boardroom, or maybe you were just staring at a spreadsheet on your monitor, and the Q2 numbers just came in.
Oh boy, I know that feeling.
Right. You are looking at the data, and it hits you. You are officially behind your projected growth curve.
Yep, the reality check.
Exactly. The annual target you set back in January is suddenly looking like, I mean, a mountain that is just way too steep to climb. You can practically feel the panic starting to set in around the office.
Oh, for sure. The tension gets real.
It really does. Executives are getting anxious, you know, whispering about hiring freezes. And what happens next in this exact moment? Well, it usually defines whether a business thrives by the end of the year or goes into a complete death spiral.
It is the ultimate corporate stress test, honestly. The pressure to close the gap is immense. And it's a moment where survival instinct often leads, you know, incredibly smart people to make entirely illogical decisions.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is zeroing in on a really compelling piece of strategy. We are looking at a framework from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Right. By Joe Medico.
Yeah, written by Joe Medico, titled H2 Recovery Strategy, Hit Your Annual Revenue Goals. And our mission today is to decode the exact playbook that high-performing companies use to pull off a record-breaking second half.
Or H2, as we call it.
Right, H2, when their first half underperformed. We are going straight into the nuts and bolts of what the market winners do when they find themselves down at halftime.
And this framework is incredibly relevant for you right now, especially given, well, the current state of the digital landscape.
It's chaotic out there right now.
It really is. The source material highlights that businesses aren't just dealing with normal economic fluctuations anymore. They are currently suffering from what the author calls an AI slump.
An AI slump.
Yeah, we are looking at a highly chaotic mix of variables. Like, search algorithms are radically shifting to favor conversational answers over traditional links.
Which changes everything about visibility.
Totally. And on top of that, you have increasingly strict privacy laws, breaking the traditional tracking cookies we've relied on for a decade. Plus, a massive amount of corporate ad spend is just quietly bleeding out on automated bot traffic.
It is a brutal environment for a marketer right now. So whether you are an executive staring down a daunting multi-million dollar revenue target, or a marketing director trying to figure out how to optimize your resources to prove actual ROI, this deep dive is going to show you how to stop renting temporary clicks.
Exactly. Moving away from the short-term fix.
Right. We want to explore how to build a predictable, reliable growth machine. But, you know, before we get into the solutions, we have to talk about the standard, deeply flawed corporate reaction to a slow H1.
We have to look at the train wreck first.
Yeah, we need to dissect the trap so you know exactly what to avoid when that Q3 panic sets in.
The reflex reaction. It's the standard corporate script that almost every underperforming company immediately follows.
The script goes exactly like this. Leadership panics, internal teams brace for sweeping budget cuts, and, well, marketing investments get put under a massive microscope.
They're always the first to go?
Always. Demand generation and brand visibility are usually the very first things to get slashed in order to protect short-term overhead and preserve cash flow. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because reading through this strategy, it highlights how inherently backward this logic really is. It's like a basketball coach being down by 20 points at halftime and deciding to bench all their star players just to save money on Gatorade for the rest of the game.
That is a perfect way to put it.
Right. You aren't playing to win anymore. You are just guaranteeing a loss by default. And the text makes this brilliant point cutting. Your visibility during a recovery period is the digital equivalent of just turning off your storefront sign and hoping people still walk in.
What's fascinating here is the underlying structural mechanism that makes this defensive move so fatal. Mm-hmm. It's not just about, you know, losing a little bit of momentum or pausing a campaign.
It's much deeper than that now.
Right. In today's environment, AI recommendation engines and digital ad platforms run on continuous data feeding. When you pull back on your presence, you don't just save a few dollars in the short term.
You're actually breaking the machine.
You are. You actually signal to these algorithms that your relevance is dropping. Furthermore, strict privacy laws are actively blocking traditional tracking scripts, which means your historical data is decaying faster than ever.
Wow, so it just disappears.
Pretty much. If you turn off your spend, your pipeline doesn't just pause, it collapses. When you finally turn the spend back on in Q4, the algorithms basically have to relearn your audience from scratch.
So you are basically starting from zero precisely when you need maximum velocity.
Exactly.
If your ad spend is bleeding out on bot clicks or low-intent searchers, the solution isn't to unplug the machine entirely. You have to recalibrate the machine.
That's the key difference.
Yeah, the source makes a really crucial distinction here. A recovery strategy isn't about driving more random traffic. It is about engineering a system that captures more actual customers. Being behind at halftime doesn't mean the game is over. It just means your H2 operational plan has to be vastly more precise.
Which is exactly why the market leaders approach an H1 deficit with an entirely different framework. Instead of retreating, they systematically restructure how they go to market.
They flip the script.
They do. The text outlines three interconnected operational habits that these top-tier organizations share, and it all starts with how they view their capital. While average companies are defensively slashing budgets across the board, the winners actively maintain or strategically reallocate their growth spend.
And the mechanism behind why that works is, well, it's pure opportunism.
Absolutely.
Think about what is happening in the broader market when a slump hits. Your competitors are busy reacting to their own bad Q2 numbers by cutting their ad budgets.
They are retreating.
Right. And when they pause their campaigns, they leave a vacuum in the digital auction. The bidding wars for premium ad placements drop. Market leaders use this exact moment to maintain their spend and snatch up that available market share at a significantly lower cost per acquisition.
They're buying the inventory their panicking competitors just abandoned. It's brilliant.
It really is.
But, you know, maintaining that spend only works if you deploy it with absolute ruthlessness. You can't just keep funding everything like it's business as usual.
You need discipline.
Right. This leads directly to the second operational habit. They consolidate capital exclusively around winning channels. High-growth enterprises audit their acquisition data and isolate the specific campaigns driving genuine signed contract revenue.
Not just, like, vanity metrics.
Exactly. Not just marketing-qualified leads, but actual dollars. Once they identify those one or two proven models, they pour all of their resources into them. They completely defund experimental pet projects or high-volume, low-intent campaigns.
Okay, I get the logic of consolidating capital into what works. That makes sense. Yeah. But I have to admit, when I read the third habit, it stopped me in my tracks.
The pipeline depth one.
Yeah. The third habit of these market leaders is they value pipeline depth over pure leads volume. Now, wait. If you're behind on revenue, shouldn't you cast the widest net possible to get as many leads in the door as you can?
It feels counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It does. If I'm an executive staring at a massive revenue gap, my survival instinct is to scream at the team to get me more pipeline. I want the widest net possible. It takes serious nerve to intentionally shrink your prospect pool when you are missing targets. How do they justify that risk to a board of directors?
Well, this raises an important question. What actually happens operationally when you flood a sales team with a massive volume of unvetted leads?
Chaos, probably.
Total chaos. The source explains the friction here perfectly. If you generate 1,000 low-quality leads just to make your marketing dashboard look busy, you aren't actually helping the business. You are creating a massive operational bottleneck.
Because someone has to deal with those leads.
Right. Your highly paid sales professionals suddenly have to act as administrators, spending 90% of their week emailing cold prospects who are literally just browsing.
They are burning all their hours qualifying bad fits instead of actually negotiating contracts.
Precisely. The mechanism we are talking about here is sales velocity. Top-tier companies actively compress their sales cycle by heavily tightening their conversion filters.
They intentionally make it harder to get through.
Yes. High-intent corporate account profiles. When you are working against a ticking calendar to hit a year-end target, you simply cannot afford a six-month nurturing sequence for a cold prospect.
You don't have the time.
You don't. By filtering out the noise at the marketing level, your sales team is only handed 10 leads instead of 100. But those 10 are ready to buy today. They spend their time closing, which accelerates the entire revenue engine.
Okay, that reframes it completely. If you only have 6 months left in the year, you don't have time to convince someone they have a problem. You have to find the people who already know they have a problem and are actively looking for the solution right now.
Exactly. Finding the active buyers.
But that introduces a massive logistical hurdle. If we are protecting our budget, consolidating it into proven channels, and drastically tightening our filters to only catch high-intent buyers, well, how do we actually configure our digital assets to capture them immediately?
It's the multi-million dollar quotient.
Yeah, and the text has this memorable quote. It says, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
I love that analogy. And yeah. When you are in an H2 recovery, you desperately need apples today.
We are hungry today.
Right. Traditional search engine optimization, you know, writing blog posts and waiting 6 months for Google to slowly rank them, is entirely insufficient for a mid-year crunch.
So how do we bypass the orchard and get straight to the harvest?
This is where the source details the proactive H2 recovery strategy framework. To generate immediate growth, your digital infrastructure has to evolve to satisfy two completely different entities at the exact same time.
Okay, who are the two entities?
The human buyer and the machine learning recommendation models, like ChatGPT, Gemini, and Google's AI overviews.
Feeding the humans and the machines simultaneously, how does that actually work in practice? I mean, structurally.
It comes down to a concept that text calls deep information gain. Historically, websites tried to rank by sprinkling in a high volume of keywords. But AI engines don't care about keywords.
They're smarter than that now.
Much smarter. They're looking to synthesize actual, verifiable facts. To make an AI prioritize your brand as the preferred answer, your landing pages need structured, proprietary data.
What kind of data are we talking about?
We are talking about incorporating detailed, verifiable data tables, proprietary localized customer outcomes, and highly precise category vocabulary.
Okay, so for example, instead of a B2B software company having a page that just says, we offer fast implementation, which is super vague, they need a data table breaking down the exact 14-day onboarding timeline with roles and responsibilities mapped out.
Exactly. You nail it right there.
Mm-hmm.
When a high-value executive asks an AI a complex question about implementation timelines in their industry, the AI wants to pull authoritative, structured data, not marketing fluff.
The AI wants the proof.
Right. By providing deep information gain, you establish absolute expertise at the machine level.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Let's say you do all that perfectly. You feed the AI the right data, it recommends your company, and that high-value, high-intent executive lands on your page.
The dream scenario.
The dream. But you can still completely blow the deal in the next 5 seconds if your funnel architecture is wrong. The text uses an analogy here about websites collecting leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
A leaky bucket.
Yeah. But reading the mechanics of this, it feels more like making a VIP customer who already has their credit card out fill out a comprehensive mortgage application just to ask to see the dessert menu.
That is a highly accurate way to describe the friction of modern lead generation. It's ridiculous.
The friction is the absolute killer. We have all experienced this as consumers, you know. You click a link because you are fully ready to engage a service. You land on the page and suddenly you are blocked by a mandatory multi-field questionnaire demanding your first name, last name, work email, phone number, company size, annual budget, and your biggest business challenge.
It's exhausting just hearing it.
It is, and it feels invasive.
And if you are routing busy, high-value corporate executives into those complex questionnaires, the source states unequivocally that you're bleeding opportunities. The mechanism at play here is cognitive load.
Cognitive load.
Yeah. The moment a ready-to-buy executive encounters that level of administrative friction, their cognitive load spikes, and they simply bounce off the page to find a competitor who makes it easier.
So what is the structural fix? How do we catch that intent without all the friction?
The actionable solution advised by the source is to rip out those high-friction forms and replace them with call-first architectures or single-field intake funnels.
Keep it super simple.
Extremely simple. You might just ask for a work email or offer a direct line to a senior strategist. The goal is to instantly catch the prospect while their intent is peaking. The easier you make it for them to initiate a conversation, the faster you get them into that compressed sales cycle we discussed earlier.
Okay, so we have the strategic roadmap. We maintain the budget to buy up cheap ad inventory. We consolidate those funds into winning channels. We mandate deep information gain to feed the AI recommendation engines. And we remove all the friction from the conversion points to capture the executives immediately.
That's the playbook.
But reading the final section of this framework, there is a massive technical caveat. Even if your strategy is flawless and your funnel is totally frictionless, the underlying data plumbing of your campaign can just ruin everything.
Ah, yes, the invisible technical architecture that actually measures the success of everything we've just talked about.
Exactly. And the source has a quote that perfectly captures the chaos of bad data plumbing. It says, "Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
That is so true. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that game of Clue is exactly what causes the panic in H1 to begin with.
Because they don't know what's working.
Exactly. When executives don't actually know which digital touchpoint generated the revenue, they're just guessing. And building a resilient customer acquisition system that gives you empirical answers requires an immense level of technical precision that most companies, frankly, lack.
Okay, let's unpack this technical side because the text drops some heavy concepts here. Server-side tracking APIs, bot click fraud mitigation, and advanced JSON-LD schema. Let's start with server-side tracking. Why is the old way of tracking broken, and how does this API actually fix it?
Well, the old way of tracking relied on third-party cookies placed in the user's web browser. But today, privacy updates in iOS, Safari, and Chrome actively block those cookies.
So the data is blind.
Exactly. If a user clicks your ad on an iPhone and buys your software, your browser-based tracking pixel gets blocked. The ad platform thinks the campaign failed, even though it succeeded.
Oh, wow. That's a huge problem.
It is. Server-side tracking APIs bypass the browser entirely. They route the conversion data from your internal server directly to the ad platform server.
Skipping the browser block completely.
Right. It creates a clean, privacy-compliant bridge that ensures your algorithms actually know when they've won a customer.
That makes perfect sense. It restores the feedback loop. And what about the bot click fraud? I know companies waste money on fake traffic, but how do we structurally stop it?
Fraudsters use automated bots to click competitor ads, draining their daily budgets so their own ads show up instead. To combat this, you have to implement technical ad parameters and third-party mitigation tools.
What do those tools actually do?
They analyze behavior patterns, like a user clicking an ad and bouncing in 0.1 seconds, and proactively block those IP addresses from ever seeing your ads again. It preserves your capital for actual human beings.
Which brings us to the most complex piece of jargon in the text JSON-LD schema. We talked earlier about providing deep information gain for AI engines. Is this how we actually feed it to them?
Precisely. Think of JSON-LD schema as a native translator working at the United Nations. A human can look at your website and instantly understand that a block of text is a product review and the number next to it is a price.
But the AI can't read it like that.
Right. An AI's fighter just sees raw text. JSON-LD is a layer of code wrapped around your content that explicitly categorizes the data. It natively tags the author, the price, the location, and the specific service category in a machine-readable format.
You remove the guesswork for the AI?
Completely. When ChatGPT needs to recommend a vendor, it pulls from the sites that have translated their expertise into the cleanest schema.
Hearing the mechanics of all this, you know, managing server-side APIs, mapping JSON-LD schema, configuring bot mitigation parameters, it sounds like you need an entire department of data engineers just to run a marketing campaign.
And that is the exact conclusion the source is driving at. The execution of all these technical elements will absolutely overwhelm a traditional internal marketing department. Your internal team's objective shouldn't be learning how to configure server-side data routing.
Their objective is driving revenue. It's brand positioning, messaging, and working with sales to close the high-intent deals coming through the funnel.
Exactly. Securing predictable scale requires outsourcing this technical friction. You let dedicated technical experts handle the complex back-end plumbing. This structural separation of duties is what allows an organization to move away from relying on ambiguous platform metrics.
You stop playing the marketing game of Clue, where you think, well, maybe an email drove the sale, or maybe it was a LinkedIn ad. You step away from the board entirely.
You step into reality.
Yeah. You get to a place where you have an honest, transparent dashboard that simply states, I spent X dollars on this channel, and our systems verifiably tracked Y dollars in contract revenue. That level of clarity is the only way an executive can confidently steer a company out of an H1 slump and hit their year-end goals.
So what does this all mean for you? If you are staring down a mid-year deficit, the core takeaway from this deep dive is a fundamental shift in posture. Do not panic, and do not default to slashing your visibility at halftime.
Always. You have to fix the friction in your funnels. Removing the massive questionnaires and relying on single field intakes to catch buyers when they are ready. And critically, you have to upgrade your technical plumbing with server-side tracking and JSON-LD schema so you can actually feed AI recommendation engines and measure your real ROI. Let the technical experts handle the back end so your team can focus on closing deals.
It is a phenomenal blueprint for immediate recovery. But, you know, analyzing this framework, especially the emphasis on frictionless funnels and AI information gain, it raises a really provocative question about the future of business that goes far beyond just hitting this year's revenue target.
Oh, what are you thinking?
Think about the logical endpoint of these mechanisms. If companies successfully restructure their digital presence using JSON-LD's schema and deep information gain, AI models like ChatGPT will become incredibly adept at perfectly matching high-intent buyers with the exact B2B solutions they need.
Because the AI understands the data perfectly.
Right. At the same time, we are removing all the friction from the funnel, connecting that buyer directly to a senior closer or an immediate checkout architecture.
So the buyer just skips the middle steps.
Exactly. If AI takes over the entire discovery phase and frictionless funnels bypass the traditional qualification phase, you have to ask, does the role of the traditional B2B sales development rep become completely obsolete?
Oh, wow. That is wow.
If the machine can perfectly qualify the prospect and route them seamlessly, the days of armies of junior sales reps sending thousands of cold emails might just be over. The future B2B sales floor might just be a handful of elite negotiators closing contracts that an AI engine fully sourced and qualified.
That is a wild implication. We might not just be looking at a strategy to save H2. We might be looking at the structural blueprint for how every business will operate by the end of the decade.
It's entirely possible.
The companies that learn how to feed the AI and remove the friction aren't just going to hit their annual revenue goals. They are going to completely redefine their industry sales model. That is a lot to think about. Get your technical foundation right, rethink your funnel, and go win the second half.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.